one that's going to be coming in the door, and you're going to yell surprise. Some of you may not understand exactly what a surprise party is all about, so I want to help demonstrate that to you as we begin our time together this morning. Pastor Shannon is going to come up here. I didn't prep you for this, so he's going to show you his mad student pastor skills in enabling himself to do this. I'm going to ask you, Pastor Shannon, to come up here and stand at the light switch, because you've got to have a guardian of the light. If you're going to have a surprise party, there's got to be a guardian of the light that's ready and on cue to turn it on, and then everybody yells. Okay? We turn on the light, and then more than three quarters, but everybody yells. There you go. So we're going to try that. So turn the lights off. I'm the surprise recipient. Okay. So I'm coming up to the church, and I'm looking around, and there's nobody in here. No, where is everybody at? I wonder, could they be around here? Could they be over there? It didn't work. It didn't work. You know why it didn't work? Because I knew you were going to yell surprise. See, I was up on it. I knew what was coming, and I had even prepared with my little flashlight. I knew that a surprise was coming when I walked through that door. What usually reveals the surprise is all the noise and the light coming on, but since I was prepared, the reveal had already happened to me, and I knew it was coming. But you know, the end of the age is going to be a surprise to many. They don't know it's coming. They don't know that a day of the Lord is coming. They don't know that there is a rapture that is prepared and planned for the church. They don't know that there's an eternity that we're going to spend. They don't have an understanding of what the end of the age is all about at all. And they're walking through the corridors of life, very ill prepared and in darkness. As that day approaches, it will be a great surprise to many. But to many, it's a highly anticipated occurrence. If you've been a believer in Jesus Christ for any amount of time, and you've done any Bible reading, you've been in any Sunday school settings, you've talked to anybody that's walked further down the road of Christ than you have, then surely an understanding of the rapture has come up into that discussion. Surely an understanding of the day of the Lord has taken place. Surely the end times has been a part of your Christian understanding, because somebody has been able to tell you about that or show you about that through Scripture. And if not, then my friends, listen close today, because today is going to be a light to help prepare you to walk through the corridors of life in expectation for what God is going to do. Not in fear and trembling, not in cowering, but in expectation that God has this, and we need to know that. We need to understand that whatever tomorrow holds, that He holds tomorrow, that whatever's coming down the pathway of life, He's already walked that pathway before me, and He knows exactly what I'm going to face and what's going to come my way. That whatever this country becomes in the next 20, 30, 50, 100 years, God already has prepared for that and has already sovereignly predestined the glory of Himself to be known throughout the nations. Listen, we need to have that understanding that when we walk into uncertainty, that it's really not uncertainty, because we're certain of the one who's planned it. And when that's the case, then we can walk into any situation, and no matter what it holds for us, we don't have to be surprised. I hear so many people saying the world's just going to hell in a handbasket. It's been going there since Adam and Eve bit of that fruit. It's nothing new under the sun. The truth of the matter is that we are seeing a deterioration of morals. We are seeing a deterioration of responsibility. We are seeing things start to shape up. But there's a reason for that. And whenever you begin to understand what the reason for that is, then you begin to say, you know what, there's an occurrence that's coming, and I know what it is. Not that you're excited about the judgment that's part of that occurrence, but you are excited about the justice that is being portrayed through that praise. You are excited about the glory of God that's going to be shown. And when this happens, when these seasons that are coming approaches, the rapture, the day of the Lord, you're going to find two kinds of people in the world. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you're going to see those two kinds of people. Those who are aware, awake, and alert. And those who are unaware and surprised. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verses 1 and 2. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Now, why does Paul start out by saying, you have no need that I should write to you? He's writing to these people. Remember, he was only in Thessalonica for a few weeks at best. During those few weeks' time, as he was reaching people and the church was growing because others were being reached, Paul was pouring into them the understandings that God had given him through Scripture and through the Holy Spirit. During those few weeks' time, he covered apparently a lot of different things when it comes to doctrine and theology. And he's reminding them of something that he previously covered with them. And he says, concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. Why does he say you have no need that I should write to you? Because he knows what he told them before. He knows that they're in the know. They know about what he's talking about. They know about the times and the seasons. They understand about the rapture. How do we know they understand about the rapture and what we talked about a couple of weeks ago? Look at verses 15 through 18 of chapter 4. In chapter 4, verses 15 through 18, Paul says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. You're in the know. You know about the rapture. They were asking questions about the rapture. They were asking questions about, well, what about this one that died before the rapture happened? What will happen to them? Paul taught them in his time with them ahead of time about the rapture. They're in the know. Are you in the know? And are you going to go? Because that's the question you have to ask. Do you know that God has a plan for all of those who have trusted in Him as their Lord and Savior? And that plan is a collection of them, a gathering of them in something called the rapture, where those who are dead in Christ, as He says in chapter 4, will rise, and those of us who remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Do you believe that God is going to extract from this planet all of those who have trusted in Him by faith? Because, my friends, if you don't believe that, you don't believe He's powerful enough for eternity. And if you don't believe He's powerful enough for eternity, you have no hope. Do you know? And are you going to go? There's no need that I should write to you because you're in the know, and because of the rapture, you won't be here for this. You see, the day of the Lord is a very intense time of God's judgment coming forth, that He's been delaying and delaying and delaying. And what we're told the reason for that delay is so that more people might come to faith. But when the day of the Lord comes and God's judgment starts to fall, it's going to be very traumatic. And we're going to see some scriptures in a few minutes. It's going to show you just how traumatic it's going to be. But there's no need I should write to you in Thessalonica, because of the rapture, you won't be here for that. They are in the know. They won't be here for the rapture. They know God's plans. Look at verse 4 of chapter 5. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. If they're not in darkness, then what are they in? Exactly. They see it's coming. They know it's coming because of the light that has been shared with them, because of the truth of God's Word that has been given to them. They're not in darkness. They're in the light. They're in the know. They know God's plans. You know that God will restore His kingdom. Turn back to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Very crucial that we understand that the truth is God will restore His kingdom. The Democrats are not going to do it. The Republicans are not going to do it. The socialists are not going to do it. The communists are not going to do it. Korea's not going to do it. But here's the secret. America's not going to do it either. Only God is going to restore His kingdom. And when God restores His kingdom, it'll be according to His time scale and according to His plan. They were in the know. They had some light of understanding for that. And why do we know this? Because in the very origin of the church age in the book of Acts, that was the initial decrees that were put out because the disciples asked. Look at verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which He was taken up. Where did He go? He went to sit at the right hand of the Father. How did He go? He was taken up. Sounds kind of like what the plans are for the rapture to me, doesn't it, to you? After He was taken up. After He, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom He also presented Himself alive after the suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, what's the question? "Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" They knew that there would be a restoration of the kingdom. Why? Because Matthew 24, Jesus had told them. Why? Because it had been a promise of the Old Testament for centuries to come. They get here to this point. Jesus says, there's going to be a great event about to happen. We know it is Pentecost. You're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be empowered to do the things that you need to do. Isn't that exciting, fellas? We just have one question. When are You going to restore everything to Israel? That was on their mind. That was what they were thinking. Not about what God was doing and accomplishing through the power of the Holy Spirit, but about a national restoration that would take place for the people of Israel. And Jesus said, look at them and say, boy, shut up. I don't want to hear that from you. We're talking about something else right now. That's not what He does. Because He knows that what they're asking is actually a true desire of all the citizens of the kingdom. And so He goes on in verse 7, He says, and He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own authority. But you shall receive power," He turns it back, "when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." He didn't tell them exactly what they asked, but He did say it's going to happen. But for right now, your job is to be witnesses. Your job is to be faithfully oriented unto Me, your Lord, capital L, and Savior. And as you're faithfully oriented unto Me, and you're following Me, and you're a witness of Me, the kingdom progression of restoration will come closer and closer and closer. Not because you're accomplishing it, but because the Father has set a time scale in His own hands. And you're accomplishing the will of God as that time scale approaches. So he answered the question in some way as to affirm there would be the establishment of the kingdom of God. Have you noticed around homes and neighborhoods there's been a boom in the sales of lights? People are lighting up all the sides of their homes. They're lighting up the front porches. They're lighting up the side areas. They're lighting up the back porches. They're putting infrared cameras all over the place that can see through the darkness. Why are they doing this? Because they won't stay. They want to be in the know if some bad guy decides he wants to come moping around the property at 2 a.m. in the morning. They want to be in the know if they're off at a vacation somewhere and somebody comes into their house. These cameras and these lights are simply equipping the homes so that the people can be in the know. A thief cannot surprise someone who knows that he's coming. And that's the argument that is being built here in 1 Thessalonians, is you should know that the Lord is coming, and therefore, since you are in the know, you can't be surprised. If you're a child of God, how much light have you equipped the hallways and corridors of your life with? Safety is brought because of those cameras and lights around your house. My friend, safety is brought because of the lens of God and the light that He wants to show you through His Word. How much light have you put up in your life? Are you studying the Scripture saying, God, what are you doing? How are you going to do it? Show me, God, what your will is. Help me discern what I'm supposed to be here and now in the time that I live. How much light are you letting in? It would be a shame to walk around in fear. It would be a shame to walk around in wonder and uncertainty of what God is doing in the world when He's given us record after record after record of what His desire and what His plan is all about. When every political problem rises, we look and we go, oh no, the world is not doing good. When every social agenda rises to the surface and people are forcing their lifestyles down the throats of every living citizen in the world, we say, oh no, the world is not what it should be. When every war situation arises, every event occurs around the globe, we go, oh no, how much longer can this world last? We should be saying, oh Lord, how much longer? How much longer till the times and the seasons come to fruition that you promise? You see, it's not about the destruction of the world. It's about the glory of God being made right in the eyes of man. And we should not allow worry and fear to come from the world stage. Because we should be walking in the peace and the surrounding comfort of God from the heavens platform. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have, what's that word there? Peace. Peace. That's a good word. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good. What's that word there? Cheer. I have overcome the world. You have the light. Are you still wondering and worried, trying to walk in darkness? Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14 says this, and do this knowing the time that now is, it is high time to awake out of deep sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. We not get it on the screens. They went to sleep up there. Shannon, did you turn the lights off up there too? Might have. All right, turn to Romans chapter 13. Catch up with me. and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision to the flesh to fulfill this lust. Did you catch all of the understanding of the light? Did you catch the understanding of the day? Did you catch the understanding of how we're to walk? We're to be aware. We're to be awake. We're to know that God has it in His hand. If I have at my disposal access to clarity and security, why would I not stay awake and ready? Why would I allow fear and confusion to creep into my life and to rob me of what were those words? Peace and cheer. And we've got to learn to replace our fear with cheer. And we're not going to do that by our will. And we're not going to do that by the world. The only way we're going to do that is by walking in the light. The second kind of people are unaware and surprised. If you're awake and ready, then amen. But maybe you're here today and you're unaware. And one day you'll be surprised. Because you don't know the plans of God, and you never understood the coming of the day of the Lord. Well, my friends, I need you to understand that everything this word gives is true, and when it says it, we need to know that we can believe it. Because in verse 3, the scripture says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should not overtake you as a thief in the night. Did you notice the pronouns that's beginning to be used in verse 3 and 4? In most of the writing to the church, the pronoun is you. And it's written to the people of the church. But when you get to verse 3 and 4, all of a sudden there comes this pronoun of they. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. They and you are being contrasted here. The one who is awake and ready to the one who is unaware and surprised. And what are they saying? They are saying peace and safety. The world has been trying to figure out how do we get peace and safety. They've been trying to manipulate it and manage it through all the media and all the different places and outlets that communication can be held. And when you look and you see something taking place like what's taking place in Virginia today, you see the media trying to bring this thing in so that they can get control of it, try to direct people's affairs and lives so that they begin following peace rather than these kind of protests that are taking place. It's not going to work. The media will not be able to bring people into a court. Why? Because Scripture teaches us that our heart is willfully deceitful, wicked, and depraved. In our natural state, we're going to follow that kind of heart, that kind of logic, that kind of thinking. And because of a wickedly deceitful and depraved heart, we're going to go down the course, the road that we desire to go down. And if we desire to hate people of a different color of skin, if we desire to hate people of a different political, social, economic platform, if we desire to hate people, then my friends, that's exactly what this world is going to do because their heart informs them in that direction. But my friends, when your heart's been informed by the Holy Spirit of God, all that hate begins to be replaced by His love. And unconditional love begins to become a part of the platform of life that you live on. And when that unconditional love starts to take place, it doesn't matter if you're black, white, tan, or purple. You're going to love each other because you know that that person was created in the image of God. And either we're all created in the image of God, or none of us are created in the image of God. And so therefore, you know that peace and safety does not come from externals. But yet, that's what the world's going to say. In diplomatic governance, in self-righteousness, in societal comparatives, where each person compares themselves to the whole of society, proclaiming themselves to be okay, then we think we can live in peace and safety through them. What are they then taken up by? For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. What are they taken by? Called sudden destruction. That is the day of the Lord. And what does it look like in Joel chapter 1, verse 2? If you can put that one on the screen, guys. It says, blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. The day of the Lord is going to be exactly that, darkness and gloominess and assault. Terror. Jeremiah chapter 46 verse 10 says this. For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, the day of vengeance, that he may avenge himself on his adversaries. The sword shall devour. It shall be satiated and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts has a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. Isaiah chapter 13, verses 6 through 11 puts it this way. Wail, cry, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore all hands will be limp, every man's heart will melt, and they will be afraid. Pains and sorrows will take hold of them. They will be in pain as a woman in childbirth. They will be amazed at one another. Their faces will be like flames. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. I will punish the world for its evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. People read scriptures like that, and they go, wow, God is vengeful. Even get close, and sometimes they say, he must be hateful. If you were to be brought into court on child molestation charges, and you did, and you were to be put before that judge, and that judge were to look at you and say, you know what, I don't want to be called a hateful judge. I don't want to be called a mean judge. So therefore, even though you did it, and this atrocious act was done willfully at your hands, don't worry about it. What kind of judge would that be? We get when we look at the only one who is holy, holy, holy. The only one who is righteous, because he is the essence of truth. Then why would we say you can't really judge us when he's the only one with the right ability to do so? What you're reading here about the day of the Lord is his justice that is being poured out, where his righteousness has been walked upon. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned. The question I started with is, which one of these two people are you? Are you looking for the consummation of this age, meaning that God will accomplish His righteousness and justice, that He is extending His love each and every day, that He does not call the church home, that He is extending that opportunity each and every day, that He is not coming back to this planet, because in that extension of time, He's giving each and every person who's not responded by faith to the gospel of Jesus Christ an opportunity to do so. But there's going to come a point where that alarm clock of eternity rings. And that time ceases to be extended to all. My question is, are you expecting that? And prepared? Or will you be surprised? Because either you don't have the light, or you fail to use it if you do have it. Only you know where you stand when it comes to this promise to them. Listen, what we're going to do is we're going to close. But I want you to be here next week, because next week we need to get into the understanding of what the warning signs are for that day of the Lord coming. No man knows the time or the season, right? Is that what we were told by Jesus Himself in Acts? But oh, there's going to be birth pains. I've never delivered a baby. But I've seen people who have. And you are getting more and more of them in here every day, it seems. And oh, when that first contraction hits, they know it. Oh, said my wife. And then they kept coming closer and closer and closer and more intensity and more intensity and more intensity. I'm so glad she loves me, because she would kill me if she had not. And the pain becomes so unbearable till finally that birth takes place in the event, the occurrence happens. You know when you're about to give birth because of those warning signs. When you come back next Sunday, we're going to look at those warning signs that are birth pains leading up to the day of the Lord. And we're going to say we don't know, nor can we predict. But by God, we can be ready. Amen. Please stand to your feet. Let's pray together. Father, You have patiently endured the rebellion of man. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, You still came and walked with Adam. You didn't cast him off, but You promised the provision that You would deliver so that man may continue to walk with You. And through the rebelliousness that has been a part of human history and will be a part of our human future, You still have provided a way for us to walk with You, and for us to be delivered from Your wrath and Your judgment, Your justice that will take place. And that way is through Jesus Christ. As John says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. And I would pray today, if there's someone in here that knows that day of the Lord, if it comes today, if the rapture of the church happened in these next moments, that they would be surprised. And they very well would not even be taken. If there's someone in here that's thinking they'd be surprised and even left behind, then God, I pray that today they would turn their heart over to You. Because God, You've given us Your word and Your truth so that we could be ready. And we thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Jeff, go ahead and lead our invitational.
Jesus.